You are now listening to the Mass Startup Podcast.
To do this.
You did what?
I saved up a bit of energy for this.
This is because you gymmed or what?
This is me every day.
What time are you getting up exactly?
4 o'clock. And I'm out of bed at like 25 to 5.
25 to 5. And then you go to the gym.
Get to gym around like 5.
5 o'clock in the morning.
5 past, yeah.
What do you do at the gym at 5 o'clock in the morning?
What do you mean? I train.
And this is like a daily thing. I've seen it on your Instagram. Like, it's an every single day thing.
Yes, it's an every single day thing.
You don't get tired? You don't get exhausted? You don't get like...
I am tired. I am exhausted. Hence, I'm like... I'm only left with so few reserves left to do this, and then I'm going to go home and work. No, sleep.
It doesn't sound like you're going to sleep.
No, I'm going to go sleep. But that's what I'm going to do. I mean, there's work to do, but I'm like,
Jay. Okay, what's an ideal like day for you? What does it look like?
Wake up.
Okay. That's at 4.
Four.
Okay.
And do what a Bible reading and just like listening to myself, introspecting for a little bit, having my moment with God, a little bit of prayer. That's it. And then literally change around 25 to 5. And then gym bag. My gym bag is already packed. My laptop bag obviously is already packed. And that's all I need. And then I'm out. And then I'm at gym around like 5, 5:15, I start training. Depending on my schedule and how much there is to do for the day, I'll either spend an hour, that is, if I've got a jam-packed day, and if I've got, you know, a bit more time, I'll probably do 2 hours at gym, and then afterwards, make sure I'm at the office by 9, and then, I mean...
You've meetings. Got like a full day of work.
And I have a full day, yeah. What do you mean?
If I was up at 4, my day would end at 12. At 12, I'd be like, look, manager, boss guy, I can't do this.
No, I've got a full day of work. And I mean, most of the time, I mean, back-to-back meetings. Majority of the time, like, if you were to look at my diary, and it's meetings, and literally a lot of meetings. I mean, that's what... And then finding a bit of time, even after that, to do a bit of work, like actual work, because meetings don't count as work. And emails don't count as work either, as productivity.
Yeah, obviously.
So, and...
So what do you do at work? What do you do at work? Just explain it.
What do you mean? I'm a brand manager, so...
Mm. Oh, I'm recording this.
Oh. You're not telling me you're okay, recording.
Let's do this. Let's start over like we were supposed to, right?
I mean...
Okay. Thank you so much to everyone that's listening to this podcast still. I say thank you every week because like I want to be the most grateful person in the world, right? So that's my goal for this year, to be the most grateful person in the world. For the smallest and the biggest things, right? So even just people listening to this podcast is like... It's fulfilling for me, right? And with each and every episode, we try and like do something that I think will add value to them, make them feel good, make them learn something that can change them. And with the last podcast, it was very technical, right? It was very, this is how you build product. This is how you build services. This is how you learn about the world and what it needs so that you can build a better business off of it. What I'm really trying to get out of this podcast with you is like, how can we better ourselves so that we can perform better for the world? Right? Is that crazy?
Not entirely.
I don't think so.
How we can better ourselves in order for us to give the best, to give the world our best value and our best selves.
Exactly.
100% makes sense.
I think, no, yeah, it's sense. Just like a big thing, right? Yeah. So, welcome to the Mass Startup Podcast.
Thank you.
I am your host, Mashid Mudal. This is the first time I've ever done that. So, please introduce yourself.
It's such a difficult question.
What's your name? What do you do?
I know, but it's equivalent to tell us about yourself at a job interview.
Oh, I've never asked anyone that.
Really?
No, tell us about yourself is like the worst question in the world.
Well, I mean, it's the worst question in the world if you don't know what they mean by it, because they don't really mean tell us about your personal life as such. They just mean, who are you from a professional perspective?
Yeah.
You know.
So who are you from a professional perspective?
So on that note, by profession, I'm a brand manager at L'Oreal. It's a French company, beauty company. And I've been doing this for most of my life. Prior to that, I did my BCom corporate finance, investments and marketing at Wits University. And of course, I went the marketing route, hence why I'm here today. Finance and investments, it wasn't appealing to me. Prior to that, I'm from Kimberley, raised small town all the way to high school. Lived a very, very normal, you know, small town girl life.
What's normal small girl town life? I'm Soweto born and raised. Every time I meet someone that was raised anywhere else, it's fascinating.
Why? I mean, Soweto and where I come from, they're very similar. It's just different. The difference is in size and I guess probably development and...
Culture.
Culture. Development culture and advances in the actual city, infrastructure, etc. However, Kimberley is very small and I think I'm about to sneeze. No.
You can sneeze, okay.
No, this is not that kind of place
where we stop you from sneezing.
I did it. I come from Khayelitsha. You know how in Johannesburg you've got various locations or gazettes, as you call them. In Kimberley, there's only one. It's called Khayelitsha and that's it. And it's not even the size of like Soweto. It's like very small. So, and I was raised, both my parents are around. They both are in Kimberley. And they separated. I have a relationship with him, but I was predominantly raised, I lived with my mom. And by small town, I mean, what we used to do, we had sleepovers, it wasn't things such as clubbing. I was never exposed to drugs, for example. Whereas when you come to Johannesburg, that's almost like a norm, you know. And popping bottles isn't a thing. Lifestyle is very different. Very, very different. Very, very small-minded people really... Well, because of the fact that there's not a lot to do from an entertainment perspective, people do drink a lot. However, that's about it. So, played my sports and did my homework and hung out with friends. That was it. Very simple.
So, how do you gain an interest in branding and marketing from that? But then also parallel to that is like, gaining an interest in wellness and fitness and nutrition.
So, you asked me two different questions.
Yep. How do you gain interest in branding and marketing from that?
I don't know if that's the right way to put it. How do you gain interest? But for me, how I started this journey, you know, how I got into marketing and branding, I just knew first year I did a BCom. So the advantage of a BCom is that you do all the subjects. And I think that's fantastic because it exposes you to the different ones. And then you can actually decide from second year that actually I like A, B, C, D and I want to specialize in that. I, for one, didn't know anything about branding when I was in high school. I thought I knew accounting. I thought I want to go do accounting. And when I got there and I was like, not quite what I want to do. And marketing and branding really appeals to me. And I changed my mind. And those were my majors. And fundamentally, that's how it all started. But theoretically and from a corporate experience, they're very, very two different things. So in varsity, of course, you learn the theoretical aspect of it, the four Ps, you know, really the classical marketing aspect, the classical aspect of marketing.
Yeah.
And the brand management side for me was a totally different thing. I started out in media. I worked at Forbes Africa and CNBC. I realized that media is not where I want to be and I want to focus into brand. And then I shifted from there and that's when I moved to L'Oreal. And I've never looked back since then. It's really something which, in terms of my compatibility with my persona, my just my persona, my aspirations, the kind of person I am. It was the best fit, and I've never looked back. So, like, it doesn't feel like work. I'll work, however, like, because of the passion, I don't know. But it,
yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I know exactly how you feel. You know? I know exactly how you feel. So, I mean, I've had that experience working at Yoko and working on different projects. Just like, as soon as you're sort of where your competence, your skills, your knowledge base comes together with your passions and your love and your purpose,
magic
like
happens.
That's like the most magical place you can magic be, right? Happens. Like there's nothing more rewarding than that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very, like my biggest fear is losing it. It's like making a move, career move, business move, that takes me away from that place and not towards a higher level of the same place.
But why would you do that?
I don't know. Maybe I want, you know, say I want more money. What's up?
Well,
or like I want to move to a different country or, you know.
I mean, I think for me, if it's about money, it's about seeing how you can best create value in what you do at the present moment, which gives you or affords you the opportunity to make more money. Because I rate that you've got a far better chance of succeeding at what you are great at than being mediocre at what you're not, and chances are it will not be as rewarding and it will be very, very career or journey limiting.
Absolutely.
You know, so...
No, look, just a disclaimer. I love my job. And I get paid a lot more than I think I'd ever get paid in my life,
right?
Let's
not talk about salaries.
Obviously not. It's a sensitive topic. So... just going back onto like your fitness journey. So this podcast literally started on your routine, right? So how does fitness wellness feed into work for you?
So for me, when we go back to where it all started, this started as just me looking for an outlet to deal and manage life. And fitness for me was that. The other option was, of course, going to therapy. But we all know how that can be a little bit
pricey. What do you mean deal and manage life?
I was not in a good space in my life. I was depressed and I was overweight. And I was going through quite a lot of personal challenges. And it was overwhelming. And I needed a way to deal and manage with that. Fitness was, for me, the cheapest form of therapy and the one which made the most sense, and more especially because I've actually never, I would say, been overweight in terms of my benchmark or where I was or used to be. So I just couldn't recognize the woman in the mirror, and not just from a physical perspective but also from the inside. From the inside. And I told myself that, like, I'm not happy. You know, there's looking in the mirror and then there's looking.
I hear you.
Why are you laughing?
No, I hear you. Like,
yeah. You know, there's that looking where you're just like glancing in your eyes.
Yeah, it's just a
and
glance.
And
like,
that
ugh.
Looking and you literally can see right into your soul.
I think the
soul
difference
and
is
the
like
inside of you.
Looking versus recognizing. So looking, just being, okay, that's what's happening. But recognizing, like, really introspecting about the realities of what's happening.
Recognizing and coming into confrontation with what's really inside. So that's, I have one of those. And like I said, for me, fitness was my outlet. And honestly, that's how it started, just waking up. I told myself that I'm going to make this decision to change my life and to help me cope and to also get back to who or what I used to be. And a couple of months down the line, of course, because of my discipline and because I told myself that this is what I want. And I was very intentional about it. And it was very, very clear in my dedication, waking up every single day. It wasn't easy. However, for me, it wasn't a hard decision to make considering what commitments I had told myself. And the one thing I am proud of about my character is that when I tell myself something, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
And I'll do it. So that's how it started out. And it started gathering a lot more interest through along a couple of months down the line when I started sharing my journey more. I was sharing it, you know, hence I said that to me, it simply was just that. I had no idea that, fast forward, it actually hasn't even been 2 years since I started with my fitness journey, that I'd be sitting right here as an entrepreneur and founder of Trove Wellness, which is a wellness company, you know. And the journey, the period between then and now, it was literally just me doing what I do. And last year, for some reason, I just got a lot more attention. People wanted me sharing more. I realized that people were actually looking at my journey, like, you know, not monitoring, but just drawing inspiration from it. And it was more of an online community that I was building with women whom I've never met, but we'd wake up every single day, but we knew that we're holding each other accountable to our fitness journey and to our fitness goals. And I think what makes it, what it's more than just the fitness aspect of it, we'll go into it now shortly as well, but just having someone to mentally hold you accountable to doing something. And that's what happened, and literally that has brought us to where we are today. I'm omitting quite a lot of things, but I just don't want to over-talk.
So, podcasts are for over-talking? I don't know if really? You know this. If you're not over-talking on podcasts, then I don't think you're allowed to over-talk anywhere else. My thinking is like, so we will go into like Trove and what it is and how it works, yes, right? But I want to understand, or really try and like make other people understand, like, how does focusing on your fitness really feed back into your work, right?
Yeah.
So that's like a big thing for me, right? So, you know, I'm not the healthiest person in the world, you know? I don't have a balance.
Right? No.
Listen, I joined the gym, you mm-hmm. know.
How's that coming, if you don't mind me asking?
Look, I don't go enough. The first week I was on like 3 times that week.
Well,
and then, thank you. And then I went to 2, and then I went to 1. As long, if I have like 2 hectic days at work,
mm-hmm.
it's like the whole thing's ruined, right? So like trying to get that consistency has been difficult. Trying to get that really good momentum is difficult as well. But even with my inconsistency and mm-hmm. like lack of momentum, I've already started seeing just like a shift in the way I think,
mm-hmm.
the way I feel, mm-hmm. to go, you know what? Maybe we can push further, like emotionally, psychologically. Can we go further than where we are right now, right? So I don't know if it's about like challenging yourself with gym, right? So whether it's running, whether it's cycling, or rowing, which is the only 3 things I've been doing so far. It's just something about it teaches you about endurance, and endurance, not necessarily of the body, but like endurance of the mind.
Mm.
And that's been like a very, very big focus of mine, is like really learning to endure, whether it's pain, whether it's exhaustion, whether it's being tired, and mm-hmm. wanting to go further and do more throughout that process. And like I've seen it feedback into work in that sense.
So exercise is more than just, of course, the physical aspect of it.
Yeah.
Which is why I mentioned that for me it was looking at myself and realizing that I'm not who I used to be from the inside as well. And they're all really interrelated and interconnected. And one of the benefits, if I just a little off point, that I realized in retrospect of there being sports in high school and in primary school, they're actually there not so much that you should gain mastery over the actual sport, but it teaches you discipline and committing to something. And it normally starts from there, which is fantastic if you've had the opportunity to do that, because you tend to be far more disciplined because you are basically setting a regime and schedule for yourself that young. It teaches you to be able to do something similar and replicate and comes through at an older stage in your life. right? So this is one of the things I believe has helped me in terms of why I have a slightly, I wouldn't call it militant approach to life, but I have a system, you know, bedtime, wake time, there's, it's a system, you know, and one of the, that's one of the benefits of that. And for people that have never really had, I guess, the opportunity to be playing sports and all of that, of course, we all raised differently and our upbringings are very, very different. And if you want to embark on this, it's not a train smash, you know. First, it's about recognizing why you want to do this. And that's a mental job more than a physical job. And you need to be in it more than the other person wants it. And when I say the other person, I'm talking about whether it's a fitness trainer, a biokineticist, a dietitian. Because I can tell you that, Mash, you need to do X, Y, Z, and I'll push you. However, if you're not in it, then it's going to be impossible for you to actually complete it, as with anything. So you need to come to a point where you realize that, like, you know what, this is for my benefit and this is my journey. It's very, very personal and you want to do this. And once you start making commitments to yourself and sticking to them, whether it's in fitness or in business or in relationships or any other aspect of your life, it makes following through a lot more easier. So with regards to the actual, like, physical benefits of exercise, there are a lot of mental benefits to it as well. Of course, you've heard of what do you call our happy hormones and endorphins, right? They are actually a real thing. And I always say that to people that, like, you know what, you can use it as, exercise can be a great stress reliever, first and foremost. And once again, like, it really rejuvenates your mind and rejuvenates your brain. And more importantly as well, the endorphins are a real thing. And they really are your happy feeling emotions, or do you want to call it that, that you get from exercise, the side effect. You genuinely will feel happier, lighter, clearer in terms of your mental space, and much more driven to want to pursue something. And that is a side effect of it. You know, it's been proven biologically, scientifically, that this is a side effect of fitness. So that's what you get from exercise. For me, it's more so that, hence I said, apart from the weight gain, it was more of that I felt like I couldn't recognize myself and I was needed, and I was not in a position to afford therapy. And hence I said, gym was my therapy. It helped me to cope. It gives you something to look forward to. It gives you something to want to push every single day. And it's a challenge. It's a very, very personal challenge. And that ultimately transforms you mentally into where you need to be to propel.
So let's go into more the business side of all of this, right? So you're launching this company, and what does it mean to you?
Trev is...
Is that difficult?
No, it's not difficult. Okay. It's not difficult. It actually makes me... It makes me very emotional.
Yeah.
And are you breaking your equipment?
No, never. It's okay.
So, firstly, I mean, what does Trove mean? I know it's a rather unusual name. You know, people, what Trove? What's that? What's Trove?
I didn't think it was unusual. I loved it.
I mean, you. I would like to call you a pod creative. Like, you have that. So I understand why you'd get it immediately. You know, and okay, that's why you you'd have a likening for it. However, for the normal person, what is Trove? What does it mean? And by definition, Trove means it's a store of delightful or valuable things. And I found that name fitting with Trove Wellness, because this means that this is a store of wellness, of everything wellness and everything delightful in terms of wellness. And this speaks to the concept of holistic wellness, and which is... That's the stance and the values of Trove Wellness. Not just physical wellness, but having mental wellness, being spiritually well, emotionally well, physically well. They all tie in together, all these pillars. And we realize that they cannot live independently. And I learned that myself through experience as well. I mean, even after I had reached my goal gyms, my body goals, and I was happy, however, I still needed therapy. Yeah. I had a burnout. I had a burnout, and as a result of that, I was forced to see actual therapy. And it's only after that that everything started to fall into place.
Mm-hmm.
Because all pillars are interconnected, and you cannot have one without the other. And there's when I realized that actually, yes, fitness is amazing, it's great, it's fantastic. However, we ought to not neglect our mental well-being, our emotional well-being as well, and our spiritual well-being.
Mm-hmm.
So hence why Trove is about holistic and overall wellness, and that's what Trove means. It is a conceptual home, store of everything that has to do with wellness, whether it's physical, mental, emotional, as well as spiritual. And the main objective of launching Trove was to have a place where a woman can come to. Basically, Trove is that place where you come to for spiritual development, physical development, and just overall development and wellness of women. And I understand that in this day and age, we have so many demands.
Mm-hmm.
We are pulled in so many directions. It's so easy to have a breakdown. It's so easy to get a burnout. You are expected to be, you know, career woman, mother, daughter, wife, and many, 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 many other roles, you know, and it really does get tough. And I think that's what majority of my audience resonates with my story as well. It's because I'm a 9-to-5 woman at the present moment.
And an entrepreneur. So,
yes. Meaning we have similar demands, you know, and it's about trying to see how we find that balance with everything, how we find the balance and making time for yourself, because you cannot give from an empty cup. And that's why Trove is there to serve you and heal you in all respects. So, for example, if you were to go on my website, which is www.trovewellness.com, we have a wellness directory. So on the wellness directory, there's a directory of personal trainers,
mm-hmm.
of dietitians, of biokineticists, psychologists, and clinical psychologists mostly, and as well as physiotherapists,
mm-hmm.
because wellness is not just one-dimensional. As I said, it's about holistic wellness.
So, I mean, I don't know if this is the right time, but you're also launching a podcast. I feel like this is the right time to talk about this. It's a very shameless plug.
You know, but just put that in there.
Tell me more about the podcast that you launched.
So, I mean, the podcast was born for several reasons. And one being that, firstly, just from a trans perspective,
mm-hmm.
to be quite honest, we, like I said, we are pulled in so many directions. Most of us don't have enough time to read, you know.
Yeah.
And what it is basically ensuring that I get to give you value and you can listen to me at any point in time, anywhere, virtually, while you're taking a shower, while you're driving on your way to work. And it's about finding those moments to actually connect with your audience.
Mm.
And I've realized as well that my audience much prefers me speaking.
Mm.
I don't know why.
You have a lovely voice.
Dude, I get tired of hearing my own voice.
Well, I have to edit podcasts.
Look.
So.
Which is what I find the hardest. I'm like, do I really have to listen to myself anyway?
Yeah.
So, and secondly, that as well. And thirdly, mainly because this is a very, very personal journey, and weight loss, wellness, overall, it's very, very personal.
Mm.
And I want to connect with my audience on that front. And I want them to understand how I said it, what I said, and the circumstance under which it was said, and to be able to connect on that level.
Mm.
You know, I'm that friend that in the morning, you wake up and you hear my voice and she says, wake up, go to gym, I believe in you. And for me, my podcast platform gives me that opportunity, and it gives me the platform as well to be able to consolidate the majority of my content, whether it's about physical, mental, spiritual, or emotional well-being, into one centralized place and make it a source of guidance for women to go to.
I think my final question.
Oh, we're almost done.
Almost. But I saved the hardest that for the was last. Quick. Right? Trust me, it's actually quite long. What? I have this thing I do where like it feels really short. Like when you're really in it, you don't know how long it is. But for my final question, it's just like South Africa is not typically known as a country that's very active, whether that's, you know, physically active or very conscious of their mental health, emotional well-being, work-life balance, all those things. It seems like a luxury to most people to have to focus on those things. How do you look at that as a challenge? Like, do you look at that as a challenge or an opportunity for something like Trove, for something like your podcast, like your boot camps, and all these different platforms that you're building out? Mm. Is this a challenge or opportunity for you?
I'll look at it as an opportunity. And mainly because, to be quite honest, a lot of us have been suffering in silence. And what platforms like Trove do is that it gives you an online friend for you to be like, hey, snap, I'm also trying to do this. Because it's not so long ago that we actually started talking about mental health. And the difference between now and then, I wouldn't, of course, necessarily negate the fact that more people now probably, you know, suffer more from mental illness and mental health issues. But prior to then, we never had the platforms to talk about it. And there were taboo topics. And looking at our history, we do not come from a privileged generation where our parents were like, you know, playing sports and being healthy and eating right and trying to filter their down through to us. That is something which is literally being cultivated and being born with our generation. And hence, for me, I've realized that our people are actually very hungry for content. They're very hungry for content about emotional well-being, fitness and health, and just how to manage. I think our generation is the one generation, if you want to call it that, that is being burnt out, experiencing burnout the most. And because of this, there's been a really, really deep interest and desire in exploring fitness and wealth and fitness and overall wellness. So for me, such kind of content in the other states, of course, it's developed, like in the US, in, you know, the UK and so forth. It's very, very, it's blooming in South Africa. I think more than ever this year, you get to see a rise in fitness and in wellness trends more than ever before. Mm-hmm. And that's a move in the positive direction. And from the online community I've had, people, once I've opened up about my story and giving out, talking more about fitness and, you know, health, etc., people have been very forthcoming in telling about their own stories. So having platforms such as my podcast and such as, you know, my website, as well as my company, as well as the boot camps which we host regularly, as well as my online presence, it's a perfect opportunity for women to actually come out and for us to unite and be like, hey, I understand. I'm on this journey too. I'm trying to be a better version of myself too. I'm struggling with this. I'm struggling with that. And we are just there to guide each other and to keep each other going. So this is definitely an opportunity. And if you, of course, it's something which should be born out of passion. Yes, it is a business opportunity. However, with everything, in order for you to last in it, it needs to be more than just the money, because it's a lot of work.
It is.
It's a lot of work. And I don't particularly like the word influencers per se, because I don't think, you know, well, the word influence has taken a very, very fickle meaning and definition in this day and age, simply because of trends, you know. And but if you were to look at the true definition and meaning of it, I can, of course, and would like to affiliate with it. However, it is a lot of work, you know, and you are dealing with people's lives. I think about that every single time before I respond to an email, before I reply to a tweet, before I reply to a DM. Mm. Someone is coming here and openly putting their heart out to me and telling me about their personal journey and their personal demons. I mean, it actually gets really personal to the point where I've had some women talk to me about one had a miscarriage, and one, like, it's very, very personal. And it's more than, like I said, more than just the fitness part of it. That is just an aiding tool to becoming a better you. So I'll say that it's an opportunity, but one which really should be taken seriously, because you are dealing with people's lives.
What do you hope the impact that you have will be?
With regards to the impact which I hope it would be, I've never thought about it that way. I've always prayed that God would use my purpose, or would use my talent, or would use my talents, that's what you call it, yes, skills, to make an impact. I never knew 2 years ago that this would be it. And for me, it is merely to touch lives. And fundamentally, in simple terms, my aim and my legacy would be to change people's lives, and not me, to give them the tools to do it, because it all starts with you. However, I am here to help you get to that point. And for me, fundamentally, I hope to use Trove. I hope everything that I'm working towards, everything that I'm working towards to at the present moment, is not merely for myself. I don't have to do this anymore, because, I mean, I'm okay, not okay. However, it is more one of those where, if I were to die tomorrow, what would I want people saying about me? That I help to make their lives better. And for me, that is ultimately what Trove is intended to be.
I think that's a perfect way to end. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Wishing you all the best for your journey.
I appreciate it. Thank you. God bless.
Cool.
Bye.